Thank you, Vince. We'll take a few minutes for questions. And while you're thinking of the question, I want to remind you we'll take a free will offering to cover some of the expenses of this ministry. And if you want to participate in that, there's either cash, check, or donation box. And as of today, online, we also have PayPal active. So keep that in mind for the future. So anyway, any questions? Put up your hand and I'll bring the microphone around.
I really want to thank you, Vince, for this, because I spend a lot of time on social media, and I have never seen a time in my life that the veracity of Scripture has been so challenged. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the Queen James Bible now and things of that nature. And I just watched a video of a Episcopalian bishop. I just lost his name. Huh? Spong. And he makes an argument that, if I didn't see the lies in it, is powerful. And I'm just wondering if you have, what do you do with those who are taking what Scripture says and trying to prove that what is said is not true, using science and other things to put that question mark of doubt in there? The one that comes to my mind is that he was talking about in the Holy Code, there is an animal that is described as being a cud chewer, and you're not to eat the animal that chews the cud. Science nowadays, and I don't know what animal it is, but science now has proven it doesn't have two stomachs, therefore doesn't chew the cud, but it appears to be chewing the cud when you watch it eat. What do you do with those kinds of things?
I would ask him, have you ever seen this animal? I mean, when somebody says, hey, I've got a problem with the Bible and here's why, the first question I ask is, what assumptions are you making? I would ask, how do you know that's true? Right? I mean, because a lot of times you'll come up and say, listen, the Bible's not true, and here's why, because the science has proven evolution's true. Really? Have you ever seen it happen? I mean, real evolution, not adaptation. Have you ever seen this stuff? How do you know it's true? And what assumptions are being made? Right? And I now have people that knock on my door. Usually they're dressed alike. Sometimes they're not. And they're bringing their own faith to me. And I've got no eager desire to talk to them any more than you do. But I got to tell you, if God cares enough about their souls that he's bringing them to our doors, we better be prepared to answer them. And I got to tell you, they always, always, always show up at the most inconvenient time. So what I do, and I tell you, I'm convicted by God. I don't want to talk to them. God goes, you got to talk to them. I brought them to you. Okay, so let's make an appointment. And I make an appointment usually when I know that my wife's not around, so she doesn't have to endure the stuff that goes on. And as far as just the debating back and forth, it'd be kind of dry and distracting. But be prepared and then talk to them, right? And almost always, if somebody comes up with an argument of why the Bible's not true or why God's not true, I'm going to tell you, first of all, it's probably a moral issue. They don't want to believe that God's true. I've had a conversation with an atheist, and he goes, I'm an atheist because of science. I'm an atheist because of these things. I said, really? And I asked him, I said, if I could give you evidence that God exists that you would accept, would you believe? He said, no. I said, well, then you can't say that you're an atheist because of science. You got to say you're an atheist because I want to. Because I offered to show you the evidence and you denied it. He goes, well, no, it's not the case. It's because science is. So let me ask you again. I asked the question again. Would you believe? He said, no. That's, you got to understand that that's probably the root. But then you can also find usually flaws in their logic on how they got to that position as well. So I listen to people, and I talk to them. And I say, well, if that's true, then what about this? How's that happen? And they go, oh. And all of a sudden they realize there's a flaw in their logic. But that's generally what I do. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is the most important thing, and I'm going to encourage every single person here, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Know your Bible. This does not mean Sunday morning at church once a week. I'm talking about you set out to find out what God's saying to you in it every day. Why? Because it's that important. Of all the things that God knows, my goodness gracious, how many books can be written with the things that God knows? And yet, he boiled it down to this. This little short book are the things that he wants us to really concentrate on. Spend time in it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people out there in cults and other things know their documents more than Christians know theirs. And guys, when we do that, we're ripe for picking, number one. Number two, we are also ripe for false thinking and living wrong lives. And we start encountering and reaping the results of that. Know your Bible, number one. Know your Bible, number two, you'll find logic flaws in their answers as well. Any other questions? Yeah.
Time for one more question. If somebody has a question they'd like to ask. If not, let me just ask a short question. What's the question that you get asked most often in your witnessing?
They question whether it is really God's word. Those two questions I asked at the beginning, is it really God's word? Is it still God's word? Those are the two questions I get asked more than anything. And so I've given you guys the answers to those. How do I know it's God's word? Change lives, prophecy, archaeology, preservation. You've got notes in front of you to take home and be able to share with other people. Research it. My email address is on the slide, chalkart@hotmail.com. If you've got questions, let me know.
And I think we have to recognize, too, that you've only scratched the surface on the evidence that we have.
You didn't give me enough time.
Yeah. Well, you'll answer questions at the resource tables later.
I could do that.
Okay, well, again, thanks, Vince, for your presentation. Thank you. Well, I'm going to just wrap this up here quickly. On your way out, remember there's a whole bunch of flyers and notices on the back table. If you want to help us get the word out about speakers coming out at the Apologetics Forum, pick up one of those flyers that would help you. And a notice for the creation tours that are coming up. You know, there's five of them this summer. The next one is tomorrow, which I think Ron says is pretty well full. But there's four more coming, one next weekend, actually, on Saturday, to Mount St. Helens, and then three more in August and September. Take advantage of that, because those are really exciting tours you can go on. Remember, you know, as we bring speakers in from out of town, you can find them coming up over the next, 4 or 5 months. We try to place them in as many places, churches and other venues as possible. If your church or another church or another venue you think may have an interest in hearing that speaker, let me know and we'll see if we can arrange that. With that, I want to bring this to a close. Thank you for coming again. Thank you for your support. The last slide, I'm just going to introduce Bruce Barton. He spoke here before, and next month he's going to speak on science and humanism, consequences of bad ideas. And there's a flyer on the back table. If you want to take it home, get it posted in your church foyer if you have the permission to do so, or on a website or whatever, email list, feel free to send that around. All these flyers, bulletin inserts and all.